recording has started. I simply don't have a joke for the cold open.
Oh, okay.
Do you have anything?
I have lots of thoughts.
I don't know many that I have thoughts. A joke.
Many head thoughts. Full. No joke. Head full. Jokes none.
Oh my gosh. That could be the cold open.
Sure.
Let's go.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Plumber Bummer.
Thank you.
I'm Natalie McKnight. Who are you?
I'm Grace Gasper.
What? That's crazy. Yeah. What? Oh, that's your name.
It's so true. It is my name.
So true, bestie. Your name is that. What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? Oh,
I invited you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I invited myself. You started a podcast and I said, I like it and I want to be on it.
Yeah.
And here I am.
And here
you
are.
So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming. Do you know what we do here? You listen to the show.
I do listen to this is my favorite podcast, unironically. I love it very much.
That's really kind.
I do. I love it very much. So I do understand how it works. We talk about Super Mario Brothers, which I did watch.
You did watch
for the
that.
First time last weekend.
Which is
I
crazy.
Listened to all 5 episodes of your podcast before I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
how did that impact your experience?
I knew a lot about the movie before watching the movie. I knew the whole plot of the movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it helped, honestly.
Would you say you were surprised by the images on screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, an audio medium can't prepare you for the visual overstimulation that this movie is.
It really is. Yeah. It's a lot to take in. The first time I watched it, I like had to keep pausing so my brain could catch up with what my eyeballs were seeing, because I couldn't understand.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was so much, so fast. That's crazy. No, I watch it every week. You have seen it one time.
True, yes.
Would you say that the project that I have taken on is fun or cool or good?
It is so cool.
That's really kind.
I have so much respect for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you watch this movie every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gonna take me a while to be mentally prepared to see it again.
That's fair. I will say, it's better when you're introducing new people to it. Because I feel like I have, too long, accepted the things that I've been seeing. But having you, and then our friend John also watched it with us, having both of you there... Yeah. Was like, oh, that is weird.
I really enjoyed having John there because he did not know the plot of the movie at all.
No, he was blind.
He did not know
like
what
a,
was
like
coming.
Like a newborn child.
Yeah, truly. Yes. He had no idea what was coming, which was very fun.
Yeah.
Because I knew that, you know, like, Toad was a full-grown man.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things that I have learned from this podcast. I remember I texted you when I first listened to the show. I was like, Toad the full-grown man? What are you talking about? So I knew Toad the full-grown man was coming, for example. I knew the fungus was the king.
Mm-hmm.
John did not know these pieces of information.
No. John, our poor friend John, had to just sit there and take whatever this movie handed to him.
Truly.
And say, okay. And he did, and he did great with it, I think. I think he's maybe different now.
Aren't
we all? Yeah.
I said it literally for hours after watching this movie. Everybody else, like, did we watch Percy Jackson the same day?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Why did we watch both those movies in one day? Later that night, we watched Percy Jackson. Like, more people came over for that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other people who came and weren't there earlier, I was like, guys, I watch Super Mario Brothers. I'm different now. You don't understand. And they're like, all right.
I gotta show the rest of our friends this movie.
Truly.
Because it is not good, but I think everyone should see it once, you know?
Yeah.
It's something. It is something.
Truly.
Do you know what we're talking about this week? You wanna talk about it?
We're talking about costumes this week.
We are, which I'm really excited because I just like clothes, but you actually do things.
I do. I do.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yes, I do costuming in theater. I work in a costume shop. And I also have done costumes for the Shakespeare Company.
That we are both
That we are both a part of. That is how we met. Doing Shakespeare together. So for our show last fall, I did the costumes for it. I've done costumes before. Last fall was like the one that I was like kind of really in charge of. So, and I also work in a costume shop and get paid to do that. So yeah, I've been sewing for a long time and I've been doing costumes for a while now. Mm-hmm. I love it very much. It's always the thing I want to talk about when it comes to movies and stuff. And everybody's like, I want to talk about the plot. And I'm like, I want to talk about the clothes. Like,
I don't care what they're talking about. They look pretty.
What is symbolism? No. I only have colors. Like,
which could be symbolism.
That's true. I do love color symbolism in costumes, and I can talk about that. But yeah. We can talk about how bad it is in this movie.
Oh,
but
it's awful. But we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually.
I have a couple updates first. And I like doing updates with someone else here, so it's not just me reacting to these.
Okay. I'm ready.
The first one is the last crazy one. There is, in Japan, a theme park called Super Nintendo World.
Oh, yes.
It is mostly Mario-based, but is a theme park that's just entirely based on Nintendo and Nintendo properties. And there are two currently under construction. In the United States, there's one at Universal Studios Hollywood and one at Universal Studios Orlando.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that until I think John was like, hey, you got to talk about this. And I was like, okay.
I did not know that. I'm a big theme parks gal, as you know.
I do know. You're the best kind of Disney adult in that you are just an adult who likes Disney.
Yes. You and John both told me that last week, and I have held it close to my heart.
It's a real compliment.
Thank you.
I'm going to be honest. It's kind of hard to do.
Yes.
There's such a weird culture around Disney. Yeah. So the current opening date for this new Nintendo theme park is 2025. So I will not be talking about it on the podcast. I will
start
be going.
A new podcast.
Oh, no. Simply no.
Simply I will not.
Yeah. You're welcome to start your own podcast.
Start my own podcast. But maybe I will.
Oh, yeah. Continue the legacy.
Yeah. No, probably
steal my
not.
Brand.
I probably won't, actually. But thank you.
Listen, it was really a choice for me to do a Mario podcast because you have no idea how much people associate me with Mario and Chris Pratt now. Every time someone tweets about it, I get sent the tweet four times.
There was something the other day, somebody said something about, like, Chris Pratt, and looked directly at you, like, made direct eye contact across the room, and you were like, don't look at me.
Yes, because it was, I met eye contact with you, and then I felt, John was sitting next to me, I felt him turn, I felt Emily look at me, I was like, too many people know about what I do. Oh, gosh, it was a choice. And now it's, like, that's my thing for the next 20 years. You know, like, this is online. It's on the internet. It's public. It's forever.
It's forever.
This is real time for me. But someone, like, 20 years from now could be listening to this and being like, oh, my gosh, Natalie McKnight loves Mario. I do, but don't associate that with, that's not my personality. It's not the number one thing you need to know.
Pain is temporary, but Super Mario Brothers podcast is forever.
I'm a Libra, but no one cares about that. The second piece of news I have, because I have Google Alerts set for Super Mario, and this was every news piece about Super Mario was about this week. Charlie Day, who is in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which you have never seen.
But I've seen parts of.
And I've explained it to you many times. Because I love it. I'm just a big Charlie Day fan. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. The worst late show host, maybe?
Mm.
Do you like Jimmy Kimmel or do you hate Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon more?
I feel like I don't watch either of them enough anymore. I had like a phase in middle school where I really liked Jimmy Fallon for some reason.
Mm.
So I feel like there's a little bit of nostalgia there in terms of like... the Ew skit and stuff like that. I was thinking about that this morning, actually, which is really weird that it takes up space in my brain still. But I don't know. I don't hate Jimmy Kimmel. I can't say I like him that much either, though.
He's so bland. Like, I was watching this interview today, and I was like, okay. I just don't like him.
He's just fine.
He's so fake. Anyway, Charlie Day was on his show, and he revealed that he doesn't know anything about the script or plot of the Super Mario Brothers movie.
But he's in it?
Yes. Or this is his word. Maybe he's exaggerating. Maybe he's straight up lying so that he just doesn't spoil anything and no one asks him about it. But he says the script is top secret. He goes in, he records his lines, they tell him what lines to say, and then he doesn't know any of the rest of what's happening. I hate when movies do that.
I really don't like when movies do that. That is so weird.
Because it, okay, as an actor.
As an actor.
We do Shakespeare.
We do Shakespeare acting.
It's hard to not know the context of what's happening in the rest of the film. Not just, like, plot-wise, but, like, yeah, thematically, what your character is doing. It's hard to act like that.
You can say the same line so many different ways, and the way you're going to say it needs to be a reaction to something. I literally told Noah this morning, acting is reacting. He was like, I've never heard that before. And I was like, what?
Really?
Fake fan.
Fake fan of acting.
And then he went, I'm not an actor. And I said, you're literally in this play. You are an actor.
He better be an actor. I don't know. I don't know what to do with him otherwise. No, he also revealed he does not record with Chris Pratt, which is standard for
I guess that makes sense. But it still makes me feel weird. I know that that's how they record these kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't like it, though.
That they just separately, they don't interact, they don't see each other.
I want to be buddies.
Charlie said, quote, maybe they just don't trust me around Pratt, I don't know. Which I thought was so charged. And no one, Jimmy Kimmel just moved on, and I was like, what?
Wait, what's he gonna do?
I don't know. Take out his kneecaps, maybe.
That either implies, like, violence or, like, romance. Like, they don't...
Like, maybe Charlie Day and Chris Pratt will fuck if they let them run. The sexual tension will be so strong. They let them run each other, and it's like rabbits. I don't know. Anyway, he's the funniest man. And also, it makes me really upset that, like, again, maybe he's just, like, lying. He's just trying to do... He's not trying to be Tom Holland, who reveals everything about Spider-Man at every opportunity. But I think it's dumb when they just give actors cue scripts. Because as someone who has acted with a cue script, it's hard.
It's hard.
It's good for, like, comedy. Like, if the joke is that you don't know what's about to happen, like we did. We did a production of Shakespeare unrehearsed. So we did not rehearse the show. No one knew the full plot of the play. No one knew who was playing what character. You just kind of went, and you read your lines, and you tried your best. And it was a blast.
It was a blast. But I had a great time.
Yes, it was really, really fun.
But it was, like, also, like...
Crazy. It was bad.
Like, bizarre.
It was bad theater. It was a wonderful comedic show.
Yes.
And it wasn't a fully produced Mario movie.
No, that it wasn't. And nobody was... There was no money involved.
No money exchanged hands. I was not being paid to be Antipolis.
And nobody paid to be there either.
No. No one paid money to see us bumble around on stage.
I kept advertising it to people as bad theater, but a good time.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's really accurate.
And I don't think that that's how you should advertise a Mario movie, is a bad movie, but a good time.
And yet, which Super Mario Brothers exists.
I mean, that's kind of what the movie from the 90s is. A bad movie, but a good time.
Yeah, right?
So maybe that is what they want in the end.
They're really just trying to honor that legacy. Oh, gosh. Anyways, next in my notes it says, establish Ms. Gasper as an expert witness. So this is me interrogating you in front of the court and jury.
Okay.
You talked about your history with costuming. I do want to say, because you're too humble to admit it, you made these great bodices for Macbeth, which was our show last year.
Thank you.
Can I say Macbeth on a podcast? Did I just curse?
Well, cursed. We're not in a theater.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm in my room.
We're not in a theater right now.
No, we're hanging out. Cool. Macbeth. I can't say it. This joke would be funnier if the words came out of my mouth. But you made these two wonderful bodices that took so much time.
They did.
And we are so appreciative of you and the hard work you put into our shows.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I had a good time with them. I maybe lost my mind a little bit. You were there.
You were doing kind of bad.
But hey, it was for the art.
It was.
And in the end, it was a great time, and I have many wonderful memories.
Yeah, and now we have them for future shows.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I will probably use them if I direct, which I want to.
I hope that you use them, because if they don't get used, I'm going to be mad.
yes.
But yes, no, that was my, like, my most recent, like, big project. Like, I tend to, like, sewing has just been a hobby for me for the last, like, 15 years. Mm-hmm. I used to make, like, doll clothes and whatever. Like, it's always just been, like, a fun little hobby. where I can just, like, I don't know, fix things that are broken and, like, add embellishments to stuff that already exists. And, like, I've made stuff before as well. It's just that takes more time. So last semester that became kind of a, like, a big thing for me that, like, I put a lot of time into these things and I learned a lot of different things about, like, the craft of sewing, but also sewing costumes, too, because how it looks on stage matters differently than, like, how it's going to look when you're just walking down the street. And nobody's, like, going to the grocery store in the corsets that I made.
Unless. Oh, gosh.
So yeah, it was a great experience. I love to sew. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to say you're good at it.
Thank you.
You have patched a pair of pants for me, and they've held up wonderfully.
Woohoo! That's been my thing recently, is I've been patching pants.
You've done it a lot.
because for some reason everybody's pants rip right in the crotch. I think it's because manufacturers don't reinforce the jeans.
That's true.
Around the crotch.
It's the most active part of the pants.
It's got friction. and so it's important to reinforce your pants, but the companies don't want to do it because it costs money. Mm-hmm. So instead people figured out I could patch their pants that they thought they could never wear again. And now I've restored pants to people.
You're too kind. You should charge money. I don't know why you haven't made a business out of this.
Yeah, why haven't I made a business? That's a really good point. I should make a business.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So now I've established you as an expert in costuming and clothing, and you understand not only clothing, but the theater of it.
I do.
You do.
I do.
Because you do that.
Yes.
Yes. We must now delve into the things that happened in this film. Can I just get, what was your general reaction to what was happening on screen?
Okay. In terms of costumes?
In terms of everything. General? Yeah.
Okay, so... So I have like sensory processing disorder and like some other like things that cause me to have like sensory overload and stuff. And I was just kind of like, "Huh. This is how I can tell people what sensory overload looks like." And like that, like I just kind of was like, "Yeah, that's what it." Like
because it when we were watching it was like I knew what was happening. You knew what was happening, but you'd never seen it before. Poor John.
Poor John.
He was like, there's so much on screen. And I was
and
like...
And he was right.
Yes.
There
it,
is.
It is. It's sensory overload, but just for
your
one,
eyes.
One of the senses.
Just for your eyes.
Which is kind of a talent to be able to do that, to elicit that strong of a, oh my God.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it was what they wanted to do, but they did do it.
That's what they did, though. They got there.
There was just a lot happening, and it was funny because when we were still in like our world, I was like, cool, it's a movie, like nice. And then it's like literally the second we got to Dino Hatton, I was like, what? Because it was just like so much.
The production design is insane.
Yeah.
Yes.
It like whoever was in charge of the set like went so ham. There was so much detail that didn't need to be there.
No.
It was bizarre.
No.
And I, like, felt like I was in a crowded room while watching it.
Yeah, no, there were four people here, and it was, like, it's a lot. It's,
yeah.
No, I watched it in public the first time, which was a mistake. I was sitting in the library, and I had my laptop open, and
you
I was like...
You watched it in the library?
Yeah.
Wow.
My friends were doing homework, and I was watching Super Mario
Doing your homework.
I was doing my homework for my thing. Do I get a grade? No, I just get insanity. So, yeah, do you want to talk about the costumes?
I do want to talk about the costumes. I have so many thoughts about the costumes in this movie.
Yeah.
And the first thought I have is why? Why are they not in, why are Mario and Luigi not in their correct colors until, what is it, 66 minutes into the movie?
Yeah, an hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
And it's one thing to keep them out of their colors until an hour into the movie. It's another to put them in the wrong colors.
Oh, no. They're just in the opposite colors.
They're just in the opposite colors, and it makes me mad.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that they didn't try to replicate what they look like in the video game in
live
action. I think that is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And And you can just get more creative than trying to replicate what an animated person looks like.
Yeah.
However, they just went so far away that I was like, I don't, like, are you Mario anymore? I don't know. Like,
it was a lot. Poor John. He was like, oh, why are they the wrong colors? And I was like, oh, you have a long ride ahead of you.
Yeah.
I have started gauging how far we are into the film by, okay, I know this is 66 minutes in because now they're in the right colors. Yeah. And that's how I gauge the third act. And every time I watch it, I'm like, it's got to be, we're almost to, no, it's, we, now, no, it's, yeah. Okay, no, still, it's got to wait. It's a long film.
It is. It feels long.
It feels like days.
Now, so that's my main qualm with the costumes is that I think it would have been very cool for them to wear like regular street clothes and have them be wearing red and green. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to have Luigi wear green and Mario wear red. But be wearing like street clothes or just like an item of clothing that is that color.
Yes.
Like I agree. I don't want them to be wearing overalls in the whole movie. I don't want that either. Mm-hmm. I just think like they could have been so like creative and they just didn't and it made me mad.
Yeah.
You know what outfit before they go to Dino Hatton that I love though is Daisy's outfit.
Yeah.
When she's being a little archaeologist. I think that outfit is so cute. The little shorts and her, like, little vest. Is yeah. The vest? Is that
it's like a,
it's
yeah.
Like a little,
a, kind of an over jacket.
Yeah, a yeah. little jacket thing. She's cute. She's so
adorable.
Cute.
She looks so much like a lesbian.
Yeah, she does. No, and I really wanted there to be a lesbian subplot.
There almost was.
And there kind of almost is, but there's not.
There's one shot late in the film where Lena, played by Fiona Shaw, who is, do you know that she's a real-life lesbian?
Yeah.
Yes. She comes in, and she doesn't say a word. She's just, like, staring at Daisy. And Daisy is saying something, and then Lena, like, braces herself in the doorway and kind of leans, and Daisy just stops talking.
Yeah.
And every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I, myself, am like, ooh, I'm blushing. I'm not okay. I'm sweating a little bit. It really seems like there is about to be some kind of romance.
It does. And it was weird.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't.
That's weirder. It's weird that it's like, it's just this one scene where there's an insane amount of sexual tension that is just never addressed.
No.
No.
Especially because, like, Lena is a lot older than Daisy, too. Can we talk about Lena, though?
You want to talk about Lena? Let's talk about Lena.
Her costumes are so good.
It's
they're
crazy.
They're so good.
Because the rest of the film, it's like, the costumes are, like, whack sometimes, and, like, they're a lot.
I think
and
Daisy's
I don't...
are, like, cute, but they're more normal. Mm-hmm. And Lena's are, like, not at all normal, but they're great.
Yes.
You know?
That's exactly like, what it is. She's constantly dressed in this blue color that I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
I guess just to kind of, like, contrast what... Because obviously Mario and Luigi have their own little thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Daisy's dressed in purple past a certain point. And I guess they just wanted Lena to have, like, a separate color that was hers.
Yeah, her thing is kind of, she wears red, she was blue, and then she also has red at some points. Like, she
wears, like, a red cape.
She's, like, a red cape thing, and her hair is red. Like, very red.
Yes.
So there's that, too. I really love in her outfit with, like, the blue with the white stripes all the way down that dress. Oh, I really love the neckline of that outfit. That, like...
Yes.
Well, I think it's... Is that a queen... I should know this. I do costume. Is it Queen Anne?
Do you want to look
neckline?
It up?
I was right. Yes.
Cool.
It is a Queen Anne neckline is what it is called.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think that is so fun. And it shows off her like little necklace thing that she's got. Not little. It's a huge ass necklace. the big necklace thing that she has.
She looks great. Like the thing about Lena is that she is my favorite character in the film. Until she isn't. Like, I think they really drop the ball in her character arc.
No, they do.
Yeah. But I think she... There's something about her. I think maybe I'm just, like, incredibly attracted to her. It's a lot for me to process. But she's... Fiona Shaw plays her really well. Mm-hmm. Her costumes are the best. She looks amazing in all of them. Like, they're all straight serves.
Yes.
In ways that I can't comprehend. She goes through costume changes, and she does not need to. She could have stayed in one thing the whole time, and the costume designer was like, no.
No, yeah.
I'm going to make her slay every scene.
Truly.
And she does! She holds an incredible power. Let's talk about some of her costumes more specifically.
Yes. See, there's the one where she is in the club. Where it...
Oh, yes. It's like latex-y.
It is. It's like... shiny. It looks like, yeah, it would feel bad.
But she looks, it's like,
she looks so good.
It's almost like a leotard. Like, it's...
this thing?
Yes.
Yeah, look at, like, it's super shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, black. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it is made of plastic.
Yes.
And it looks like it would be so uncomfortable. But she's just vibing. And I love her for that.
And it, like, the shot where they reveal it, she's, like, she steps down on the crystal necklace.
Yeah.
And then it pans up from her heel all the way up, and it's just like there's no skirt and no pants. It's just it kind of like what is that called, like a bikini cut almost, where it just kind of,
yeah, like it's like around her legs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it pans up and you're just like, okay, like she's wearing these tights, and then you see the bottom, and then it pans all the way up to her face, and you're like, oh, it's such an intense serve. It's so good. Oh, and she's wearing gloves. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, she is, and she looks great.
There's no reason for her to look this good.
No, there isn't. There literally had, they had no reason for to make her look the way she looks, mm-hmm, in this movie. There's literally no reason for them to have her, like, be serving, like, way more than anyone else. But they do. And I love also that they put her in, like, pants sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like... they have her in these, like, cute dresses and stuff, mm-hmm, but, like, the pants, like, when the outfits where she gets to wear, like, pants, like, or, it's not even pants, it's, like, a bodysuit thing.
Yeah.
She's so powerful. Like,
she really
is. And I respect it. They did a really good job of making her costumes, in my opinion, making her costumes, like, emphasize how, like, just powerful she both is. But also, I think, how she feels as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't think... like, I really, really think that the way that you dress is an outward expression of, like, who you think you are.
Yes.
And so, when you're doing costumes, you have to think about not only what do we want to perceive the person as, but who does the person perceive themselves as well.
Yes.
Because you don't put yourself in stuff you think you can't pull off.
Right.
She thinks she can pull this stuff off, and
she's
does!
Right. She's so right!
Correct! And so I think that's super fun, because you can chalk it up to, like, oh, they're in, like, a weird dinosaur land place where just fashion has evolved in a really strange way. But, like, not really, though, because we also see characters wear fairly, like, less cool stuff. Like,
yeah.
I love Toad the Full Grown Man. Oh. I love him so, so much. And his outfit is so fun, too.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as Lena's.
No. Well, and I think we have to also talk about where we were in terms of just clothing and fashion.
That's
at
true.
The time.
In the 90s.
In,
yeah,
the early 90s, we were seeing more women in power. And, mm-hmm, I think Lena reflects that. But it's interesting to me that, like, her outfits are never, like, racy, but they aren't conservative. Like, she wears,
yeah,
a latex catsuit to the club. And it's not, like, inappropriate. It's just, like, this is not something Margaret Thatcher would wear, you know? It's like,
truly. She wears stuff that's pretty tight,
mm-hmm,
around the waist, especially. And she wears stuff that has, like, a good amount of cleavage, usually.
Yes.
But she, yeah, doesn't wear stuff that's particularly short.
No. Nothing incredibly revealing. Like, you would wear it to a nice
revealing dinner
if you were meeting your grandma, you know?
but then again, you wouldn't, because the stuff is so bold.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I would not wear, you know, a latex suit to meet my grandmother, even though it does cover me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think her costumes are so cool. But yeah. I also think, like, the way that she carries herself in them makes them look correct. Because imagine if we were, like... if, like, let's say, hypothetically, there was a scene in the movie where, like, Lena gave Daisy a makeover for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, if Lena gave Daisy a makeover, it would not make any sense. And we would see Daisy look like an idiot in Lena's clothing.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Like, it doesn't match.
It's crazy to me. The costume designer's name is Joseph Porro. And he whiffs it a lot of the time. But somehow, for Lena specifically, he's just so on the money.
Yeah, truly.
Like, in terms of, like, setting tone, setting mm-hmm. character, mm-hmm. It checks all the boxes of what good costuming should do and be. And also, like, it's iconic. Like, if I wore any of her things, and you knew the movie, obviously, mm-hmm. you would be like, oh, you're Lena from Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
Which, for not being an established character, like, is yeah. insane. She's not in any of the Mario games. I don't know why they added her. I need to figure that out. But she looks great.
She does.
She showed up.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with just, like, the clothes match the character.
Yes.
It's correct.
Yes.
Can I talk about something? Can I derail us a little bit just for a second?
Okay.
And talk about something from the movie that I think didn't match the characters?
You're more than welcome to.
The police outfits?
Oh my, you have brought this up so many times since we've seen it. I've talked
about this so many times since we've seen it. The police uniforms in this movie, in Dino Hatton, the Dino Hatton Police Department. Mm-hmm. The DPD, if I may.
Yes.
has police written in, like, in rhinestones mm-hmm. on the back of their jackets. And I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. That is, like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
At zero. All. It doesn't make any sense with the universe, with the style that we're seeing. Doesn't make sense with the, like, totalitarian government that is there. Like, it has no place to yeah. be there. And that's why it's so funny to me.
Right.
That they're the police jackets.
So it's actually based on...
Say police in rhinestones!
It's based on Mussolini's dictatorship. When he had dictator embezzled on the back of his suits. No. Oh god, can you imagine? No, I don't understand it. I adore it. Like, I'm glad that that was the choice that was made.
Yeah.
In no, so many truly. Ways.
I've thought about it. And talked about it. So many times.
Yes.
So many times.
We have a cop in this show of Shakespeare that we're currently rehearsing.
Yes.
And there's so... I don't get to make this call, but I so badly want police to be embezzled on the back of it. We're setting it in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think it would be justified.
I want it really badly. I have lots of thoughts about lots of the costumes, but I think the thing that takes up the most space in my brain is police and rhinestones.
That's great. It's
the Yossification of police.
Oh my god.
The Dino Hatton police.
The Dino Hatton police. ACAB, except for the Dino police. No, they're actually terrible people.
They are terrible. They're really bad.
I take that back.
They're really bad, and they're like, their kind of tactic is like, oh, we'll shoot them with a fireball, and if we miss, we'll set the building on fire with our missed fireballs. They're pretty incompetent, yeah. But they look good.
They look
stylish.
Yossified. That's so funny. I want to talk really fast about another of Lena's costumes.
Yes, please.
Do you remember the scene where they are bathing in mud?
Yes.
It's really uncomfortable.
I hate that scene.
It's awful. However, she's wearing, we only ever see the neckline of it, but it's mm-hmm. this metallic dress. Apparently it was designed to be full length, and then we just don't see the rest of it.
That's unfortunate.
It's kind of an unsung hero, because it's the only outfit she wears that is not blue in any way. It's just silver.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
I'm kind of upset that we don't get to see the rest of that outfit.
Me too.
And also that it only exists in the bathing in mud scene.
It's which has one of my least favorite lines.
That's so bad.
Of the whole movie. You know why I like mud? Because it's dirty and clean at the same time. Which doesn't make sense!
It's a bad line. It is the second worst line
in the movie. The first worst is clearly, you know what they say about little girls. They always remember the first time they're kissed by a lizard.
That's the worst line.
That's the worst one.
The second one is the mud one, though. Yeah. That is bad.
Is there a third worst line?
I can tell you the best line in the movie.
Okay.
Exactly. What's your name? Say. Mario. What's your name? Luigi Mario. I don't even know if that's like exact. I don't know what the exact quoting is, but whatever that part of the movie is where he's like, we established that his name is Mario. That's my favorite part of the movie.
Such a bold move. Yeah.
They Mario didn't have Mario to include... and Luigi Mario.
He has the line, how many Marios are there between you? There's three. There's Mario, and Luigi Mario. And I think about it a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good stuff.
It's great. It's really good filmmaking. I thought you were going to say that the best line is at the end when Koopa's about to take care of the... Actually, there are two best lines. Koopa's about to take care of Luigi and Mario, and he's holding this gun, and he gets a radio, and he says, "Sir, your pizza's here."
Oh, I know what the other line's going to be, too, yeah. Now that you've said that.
Yes. Immediately after, like a minute after this, they go, "Sir, the Goombas are dancing again."
You know what? I take it back. You're right. "Sir, the Goombas are dancing again" is the best line of the movie. And I've said it to you many times since we watched it.
It keeps becoming relevant.
Which is weird.
I don't anticipate. Just every time there's dancing, which you wouldn't think you see a lot of in daily life. But there's so much dancing that we have experienced.
Yeah.
Every time. It's, "Sir, the Goombas are dancing again." It's so funny. The other best line, of course, is "Trust the fungus."
Yes, truly.
Which is a whole thing from this film. There is, I've mentioned a cult following surrounding this movie. Trust the fungus is, like, a thing. I received an email recently from Biozilla. Thank you for writing me this email. But they signed off, "Trust the fungus." And I was like, oh my gosh. It's like a secret society. We all use "Trust the fungus."
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's how you identify other members of the community.
It's like, you know how there's Gaydar? We have Super Mario Bros. Dar.
Fungus Dar.
Fungus Dar. Oh, gosh.
Goomba Dar.
Goomba Dar. Yeah, yes. Can we talk really fast about some of the other costumes in this film?
Yes, please.
We've mentioned Daisy has, like, her, like, archaeology outfit, which is cute and very 90s lesbian.
I love it.
And then she puts on this, like, princess dress that's purple?
Yeah.
Why is it purple?
That's a great question.
Because Princess Daisy, the character, is dressed in orange. Princess Peach, who was called Princess Toadstool at the time, is dressed in pink and always has been.
Yeah.
There's no purple, except for Pauline, who is not in this game, or in this movie.
No. Yeah, I don't know why they put her in purple. Seems weird. I don't hate the dress. I don't hate the dress. It screams 90s.
Yes.
But I don't hate it. I don't know why it's purple, though, because... And I get, like... I think they should have put her in orange because it's supposed to be... See, colors are important in a video game, establishing which character's which one. As somebody who doesn't really play video games and just, like, watches... I just watch my friends play Super Smash Bros. And I go, wait, who's the green one? That's Yoshi. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, yeah. Colors matter.
Yes.
So when you're making a movie that has almost nothing to do with the game, the one thing you gotta do is get the colors right. And they absolutely do not do it in this movie at all.
No.
And so, like, yes, is orange maybe the worst color?
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, yeah. Would I ever want to design a costume that's orange? Probably not. But do you have to for this movie?
Yeah.
I think you do.
Especially, we don't see any other character in orange.
No.
It would have been a really great way to make her stand out.
Listen, orange is not a great color to work with, but it's not impossible to make it look good.
Well, and especially with Lena. Like, we know the costume designer, Joseph Porro. We know you can do it.
We know you can do it.
I
wonder if he just ran out of time.
He was like, ah, fuck it, purple.
Oh, no. I spent too much time on Lena and Big Bertha's costumes.
Big Bertha! Oh, we gotta talk about Big Bertha.
Oh, shoot. Okay, wait. Look, Daisy... should have been in orange.
Yes.
I don't hate the purple dress.
No, actually, I do like it. I like that it has, like, crystal details. I think that's really cute and clever. I guess it was to do the purple of the crystal, but then that doesn't make sense.
No, you don't need to.
No.
It doesn't need to. The only thing I can think is, like, when you think about, color symbolism in costumes.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about symbolism.
Oh, my gosh.
purple is for royalty.
Yes.
And so it also, there is maybe a purpose there of, like, she's the princess and you're establishing that by putting her in purple.
Mm-hmm.
And that she has, like, the claim to the throne. Lena does not wear purple.
Right.
Koopa doesn't wear purple, right?
Hang on, let me look it up. I don't think so.
But also, That feels kind of deep for the Super Mario Brothers movie.
No, Koopa's never dressed in purple, and we do see the king at the very end, and he also is not dressed in purple.
Interesting. Well, so that's, like, the only thing that I can pull that would make the purple make sense for me.
Is that it was designed to signify her as royalty.
Yeah.
We did both grow up Catholic, so we're very familiar with color symbolism.
Color symbolism in costumes is really interesting to me, and I can go into it more, but that is, usually purple does symbolize, like, royalty or, like, richness, mm-hmm. riches, wealth, if you're using it in, like, a symbolism way. Sometimes purple is just purple.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes purple's just red and blue mixed together.
I just think it's interesting. Let's talk about Big Bertha.
Let's talk about Big Bertha.
Which, by the way, there are some real girl bosses in this movie. Can we discuss?
Yes.
I think it was because, historically, women were coming into positions of power when they had not before.
Yeah.
In the 80s, and this movie came out in 93. I really love Big Bertha as a character. And also, her outfit is, like, beyond levels of iconic.
She is so cool. I love Big Bertha. Mm-hmm. She, truly, there are so many girl bosses in this movie.
Yes.
And I love that so much.
Big Bertha is one of the ones that we see. This is kind of a common theme in these costumes. They're spiky.
Yes.
They got spikes on them.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I think it is an interesting choice to kind of differentiate, like, ooh, this is the fashion of this alternate world. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the spikes. I like them.
I don't hate the spikes either. And usually I'm not a fan of spikes in terms of, like, just on clothing because it feels impractical.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing feels practical in Dino Hatton, so I don't think it matters.
The belief is already suspended.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
No, she looks amazing. It's this bright shade of red.
Yes.
She has the gloves on it. It's just...
She's got these cool earrings, too.
Yes, yeah. I really want a pair of her earrings. I was shopping for earrings the other day, and I was what if I got spiky ones?
Yeah.
Again,
I love the neckline.
Yes.
Necklines are good in this movie, I think. I pay attention a lot to the necklines. I think they just... The neckline of an outfit does so, so much for an outfit, because you're not... Like, because you tend to look at somebody's face, you're closer to looking at the neckline of a certain outfit. So I think that's it's a part of the outfit that matters a lot,
mm-hmm.
Maybe more than other parts. And so to get the neckline right is important in my book,
which
I think is absolutely done here. Mm-hmm. So
no, I don't know what happened. I don't know why the women's outfits are really good.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about the color of Daisy's dress, but I like the dress. Like, I really like everything that the women wear in this film. Which is why it's really disappointing to not talk about the women, which is now what we have to do.
No.
Can we talk about... We've touched on Mario and Luigi. We did not talk about their club outfits. Their suits.
Oh, my God.
Did you block it from
me? I did. But I kind of... Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like them a little bit.
I do, too.
I kind of like them.
I wish they were their colors. That's my big qualm. There's no reason. Because they're yellow and red.
There's no reason.
In yellow.
There's no reason for them to be wearing those colors. Those exact same suits in their correct colors. I would love.
Yes.
I would absolutely love. I wonder if, like, just for, like, John Leguizamo looks good in red. Let him wear red.
Maybe. Maybe. I hope that's what's true. He does look great. He's great in this film. I want to read to you really fast the descriptions. I'm on smbmovie.com, which is the Super Mario Brothers movie archive.
Oh, okay.
And they have little descriptions of each of the costumes that all of the characters wear. And for these club suits, it says, for example, the one from Mario says, the odd canary suit Mario is forced to wear when he enters the Boom Boom Bar, given to him by Iggy, apparently the costumes of his ex-wife.
Yes, which is
they do
such
mention.
A funny establishment.
I
think that's hilarious.
They just move on to us, like, as Max wives, and then they don't talk about it again.
That's kind of how this movie is. Like, they just do stuff and then move on.
They throw you character lore, and then they're like, anyways. The next line is, Spike and Iggy still wear them when they go on dates, which implies that Spike and Iggy are dating each other. That's not true. They're cousins.
I think it means when they go on dates, like, with other people.
So why are they wearing Iggy's ex-wife's outfits to go on dates with other people?
What? I mean, maybe they can't afford more clothes. What's their source of income?
Why did they get... When did Iggy get the suits and the divorce?
Yeah, wait, why did...
This doesn't make sense.
Iggy's ex-wife is like, he took my clothes in the divorce.
He just stole her whole wardrobe.
I got the kids and he got my clothes.
I want to know so much more. And that's, we're never gonna know.
No!
Here's the thing. This movie was in awful, like, development hell forever. And yeah. That the script was changed literally while they were filming. The directors would change the script. They were married.
They were mad at each other, right?
They would do it to spite each other and then not tell each other. So I'm so sure that that was like... It reads to me as like the husband was like, it's like an ex-wife, you know? Like last second, like they were about to film the scene. He was like, wait a second, I got an idea. That's what it reads to me as. And then there's just no... He forgot there would be implications to saying that Iggy had an ex-wife who he stole clothes from. Oh god. Anyway, also Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are not of the same size. They would not wear the same size of suit.
That's so true. But they would not.
It fits them both perfectly. It was really convenient. I really
enjoy the idea that it's like a one size fits all suit. Yeah. Which is really stretchy.
Yes. Yeah.
Lots of stretch in there for Bob Hoskins.
I just wanted to talk about those suits because I think
they're
a lot.
They're good. I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are wrong in terms of color. Yeah. And I don't hate the yellow one, but neither Mario nor Luigi should be wearing a yellow suit.
Yeah.
But I do want to see Iggy and Spike in matching yellow suits.
I agree. I actually agree. Well, and that's okay. If you're going to make his suit yellow, why then is Luigi's suit red? Why wouldn't you go with a different color for Luigi? Like, if just put them both in different colors.
See, this is why I think I'm giving too much credit for the symbolism of the purple. I don't think that much thought was put into this because there's no way it was put into for that dress and not thought of at all for Mario or Luigi.
No.
The Super Mario Brothers. The name of the movie. Like,
well, and it doesn't even work in the scene because it's like, Luigi's wearing the red suit. Red generally symbolizes anger, but also, like, passion. Passion. Did you ever see that, there was a That's Cringe about it, but it's this guy, and he's walking through, like, his morning grind routine, and I don't remember what the context of the sentence is, but he just goes, passion. And I think about it a lot, every time I say passion. Anyway, it's passion. And yellow symbolizes, like friendship and hope and joy and happiness.
Yeah.
But Mario is the one who does all the flirting in the scene, so he should be dressed in red anyway if there's gonna be color symbolism.
That's true. Yeah, I really don't... I don't think thoughts were put in terms of color. They were like, what kind of fabric do we have? Like,
you know what I think it was?
The yellow's cheaper. Like,
I think they were like, hey, Mr. Joseph Porro, costume designer, sir. We're going to start filming in a couple months. Here's all the costumes that we want you to design. Please come to us with sketches and prototypes in a couple of weeks. And he was like, great. And he put so much work into Lena's costumes that by the time he got to everyone else, it was like 3 days out from the deadline. And he was like, oh, yeah. Fuck.
I mean, maybe.
Sprinted to, cause that's the only thing that makes sense to me. Cause Lena's are so good and Big Bertha's is great and Daisy's are cool. And then you get to these and it's like, there's no reason.
No.
There's like, I like the design of the suits. I don't like the everything else.
I do. It is kind of funny to me mm-hmm. that it's just, like, the red and green ones that are bad. Like, colorblindness? Question mark? Like,
is he colorblind?
Not no. a chance.
But someone would be like, hey.
What if he was and just didn't know? And everyone was like, oh, what an interesting choice. And he's like, I didn't think it was that interesting.
Both the suits were intended to be yellow and he just fucked up real bad.
That doesn't even explain it, though, because, I, like, you're a red green colorblind.
No, maybe. You would still see yellow.
But yellow would still be there. I don't know what happened.
I don't understand.
The fits are fun. The colors are incorrect.
Yes, and just in every level. Let's touch briefly on, like, Koopa wears these, like, this military outfit, and then, like, suits that are suits. Scapelli also wears a suit on the Mario Brothers archive. They're like, oh, it's symbolism. I don't think so. I think they just put Scapelli in a suit because he's a businessman.
He's a capitalist.
Iggy and Spike have outfits.
Yeah.
The archive claims that the ones that they wear in the beginning when they're in the regular world are stolen.
That makes sense.
Yeah, which is funny to me. Because it's like, oh, they're trying to blend in so that they can kidnap Daisy. They don't blend, like, they're the craziest looking people.
They look insane.
They should have just kept their clothes from Dino Hatton then. It didn't help.
Yeah, truly. Well, I think it'd be really funny if they were just like, mm-hmm. oh, we'll steal clothes to fit in. But they don't know what fitting in would be like, so they just picked clothes that they thought they liked.
And now they look like 2022 TikTok stars. They look like members of the Hype House.
No, they look... the one haircut where he's like his hair is parted right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know. I've seen on the internet... Boys with that exact haircut now.
Yeah.
And I think it's really funny.
Iggy's, like, square glasses and, like, turtleneck with the thing over it. It's, like, a lot.
Yeah.
They're kind of fashion icons. I can't lie. Like, I don't think the costumes are good. But I think they are, like, there are people who would wear that now.
That's true.
It's just not in 1993.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also think, like, I don't hate their clothes, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I hate their hair a little more.
Yeah, the hair is bad. The hair in the movie in general is bad.
Yeah.
Lena's looks great. Daisy's looks great.
Yeah.
Big Bertha's looks great.
Truly.
Mario and Luigi look great. But also, we barely see their hair.
Truly. Yeah, they
do. And also, they just have guys' hair. I don't know.
Who's got the best hair?
Who?
Toad the full-grown man.
I knew you were going to say that. He has this, like, shaved spiral on his scalp.
I don't know
and then, like,
if it's,
a curly cue.
Shaved or if it's, like, braided into, like, a spiral.
Oh.
I couldn't tell when we were watching the movie.
Hmm. That...
But it is. It's a spiral around his head, and it's the ugliest hairstyle I've ever seen in my whole life. And it is just, and it's supposed to be a little mushroom man, Toad.
Yes.
But instead it's a guy with the worst haircut ever.
I don't know why they did that. It doesn't look like Toad, the character Toad.
No, there's nothing about, Toad is, he's not my favorite character, but like, he honorable mentions, like, to Toad. Because I love him. I love that he's just like, says to random people on the street, like, the fungus is our old king. and the guy right now, he sucks, and then gets arrested and turned into a Goomba.
Yeah, for being a communist.
Yeah, and then he just stays a Goomba with a harmonica.
Yes.
Forever.
And he brings Daisy steamed vegetables she says that she's vegetarian.
Toad is great. I don't know why he looks the way he does,
though. No, they also don't fix him at the
end. No, and that's really upsetting. I've thought about it multiple times. I said it to you before we started recording this.
Yeah.
That I was mad that they didn't turn him back.
And they just don't. Because, I don't know, they hate him. Fuck Toad. Daniela is the other woman we have not talked about in this film.
I like her outfits. I do.
I think they're cute. I think they're really cute. Apparently, the one that she wears when she's kidnapped, it's like this little kind of slip that's like pink and black stripes.
Yes.
It was designed to look like the dress worn by Pauline in the artwork for the original Donkey Kong.
Oh, interesting.
Which is interesting, because then why didn't they just name her Pauline? Because they clearly know who that is.
That's interesting.
I don't understand any of this movie or the decisions made.
I don't either. I feel like sometimes, like, there wasn't thought put in. There was just things made.
Kind of true.
They were like, oh, you can wear that. It's kind of like, I don't know if your high school theater department was like this, but I went to, like, a small Catholic school that didn't have a ton of money.
Mm.
And so for every show that we did, like, the costume design was go into our costume shop and find something that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we had all of these items that were, like, vaguely from a time period. And so we'd do a show that was set in the 30s and wear the same thing for the show that was set in the 60s. And, yes. like, it was just kind of, like, what do we have? And every single year, every show, we would, like, be getting dressed in the dressing room and girls would look at each other and be like, I wore that in that show. I wore that in the other show. Like, and yes. It just kind of be like, oh, look.
Very common high school theater thing. That's
just what we have.
Yes.
And this feels like that, but I know that's not what happened.
It feels like this dress was supposed to be in something else. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, and we'll use it for Super Mario Brothers.
And I know that's not what happened.
Yeah. Huh.
Then why does it look like that's what happened?
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm looking through these outfits on this thing. We should talk about just, I think, Dino Hat and fashion in general. It feels kind of like Mad Max-y. Which is very, like, a strong choice, because Mad Max is so iconic, I guess, in terms of costuming and setting.
Yeah.
And it, like, it doesn't not work. Like, I think it does what it's supposed to in terms of differentiating Dino Hatton from the regular world. That is also, like, why that direction? Why those things?
It's interesting because this is... So, I don't like the use of spikes generally.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it in this movie.
Yeah.
Because as I said before, spikes are impractical. You can't wear things that have big spikes on them and not run into problems. Mm-hmm. But this isn't, like, this isn't a practical place.
Yeah, it's a fantasy comedy.
The other thing is there's supposedly humans evolved from dinosaurs. Mm. And that's why I feel like the spikes become, like, a, like, theming thing. They're like, there's dinosaurs here, and we wear spikes to honor our heritage of we used to be dinosaurs with spikes.
Kind of is what it is.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I did think they did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's also that club scene where, like, so many of the people there are, like, barely wearing any clothes.
I was going to talk about that.
And that does not feel like... We evolved from dinosaurs, and that's why we wear what we wear.
No, they're actually incredibly provocative in the club scene. It's practically a strip club for a children's movie. I don't really understand why they did that. I think that they could have designed kid-friendly club wear that they just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I don't know, I'm not a fucking prude about it. Like, I'm not like, it should be more conservative. I think it's fine, it just doesn't fit the audience of the film.
Yeah.
Like, I think as adults watching it, it's like, okay, this makes sense. But if you were, like, 8 years old, or you had an 8-year-old child who was like, I want to watch the Mario movie, and you turn on the Mario movie, and you get to the club scene, and you see just, I don't know, women in bikinis, then it's like, what?
Yeah. It is kind of just like, oh, what?
But also, why? I can say the same thing about Lena. If I didn't know who I am and what I was, and I saw Lena in that... her club outfit, it would have awakened something in me.
Yeah, that's funny.
Thank you.
Oh, man. I like some of the costumes a lot.
Yeah.
But I think, like the set design, it's a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Not for certain characters. I think Big Bertha, Lena, they have to have those big, bright costumes.
Yes.
It fits them. It's correct. But every single person that we see has crazy outfits on.
Yeah.
But not in a, like, this is the style kind of way. More so in a way that's just kind of, like, I don't know, make them look crazy, I guess.
Yeah, it's Dino Hatton.
And just make them look kind of kooky, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I feel like the conversation around that probably was.
Can we talk really fast about the makeup? For just the random inhabitants of this city.
Yeah.
Who are not fully human, which is fine, because, I don't know, they're dinos. But it's like, Big Bertha looks like a human being.
Yeah.
Lena looks like a human being. Koopa looks like a human being. Like, their hair and their clothing is a little strange. But that's all, like, aesthetic.
Yeah.
But then there are shots of just inhabitants of the city who are, like, they have, like, scales on their face or like, weird shit with their eyes. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It is weird and it doesn't make sense because if the lore of the movie is that, is that they evolved from dinosaurs, if you're evolving from dinosaurs, you're not going to have just, like, a patch of scales on your face.
No, that's not how evolution works.
First of all, if that's not an evolutionary, like, pro. Like, yeah. That's definitely a con. Like, you should evolve out of that. Like,
yeah.
Of having random scales on your face. They're not helping you. It just seems weird. It seems like, once again, we didn't think about this very thoroughly. We said, make them look like they evolved from dinosaurs, I guess. I don't know. Kind of kooky, maybe? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It's a movie for children. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish there'd been some more thought. Instead of just, like, throw colors on them. Throw spikes on them. Throw rhinestones on the police.
Really, it feels like when you're, like, a child and you think about what costuming is for the first time. And you're like, I would be able to do this. And it's like, okay, how would you costume this? And it's like, spikes, colors, scales.
Yeah.
like a 11-year-old kid who doesn't understand what's happening.
Not every costume should be the standout costume. And I think that's what is missing here, is that, like, Lena's costumes are the standout costumes. Big Bertha's costume is a standout costume. But there are other costumes that don't dial it back enough for those ones to be the standout ones.
That's what it is. It's every costume is noteworthy, which is why it's so much to take in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, it makes sense for Iggy and Spike to have silly little goofy things, because they're comedy characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense for Lena to be a badass, and it makes sense for Big Bertha to have her iconic... She doesn't change costumes, it's just the one.
She's got the jacket that she puts over it.
That's true.
Which is great.
It's great. I want to wear
a red leather jacket. Are you kidding me? That's great.
She looks amazing. But it makes sense. But then it's like, okay, there's the shot of the woman who has the egg in the stroller.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And it's like,
I think my life just flashed before my eyes.
Her physicality and her costuming and her makeup, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
She's in one shot of the film, and it's like, why is there so much going on with her character? We don't see her again.
Yeah. No, it's the kind of thing where, like, you just need to have certain costumes stand out and certain ones. Like, you always put, I do costuming for theater, like, live theater. I've not done costuming for film.
Mm-hmm.
But in live theater, like, you tend to put a lot more attention into the costumes for the leads. And the ensemble, like, you put attention into it. You put care into those costumes. But they don't generally get as many of the, like, standout things.
Yeah.
And it all depends on the show that you're doing. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't put color in ensemble costumes. You absolutely should. It just depends on time and place. Yeah. And, like, there is no time and place for these costumes. They just are, like, all turned up to 100 all of the time.
And it's so much to, like, look at and take in and process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
Do you have any other outstanding costumes that you want to talk about?
I think, well, briefly, when they finally get to the right colors, Mari and Luigi.
Yes, 66 minutes into the film.
Yes, 66 minutes into the film.
I'm going to get a tattoo that says 66 minutes.
So, when we were watching that, John got really mad because he was like, once they finally got to the right costumes, they didn't do it right. They didn't look right in those costumes. And I was thinking about that, because I was just happy they were in the right colors.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it for a second, and I was like, yeah, those don't look great. I am a fan of the coveralls rather than, like, overalls.
Yes.
I think those are fun.
Yes.
And it makes sense, because they are literal real-life plumbers.
Yeah.
What I don't love is the, like, patchworky kind of look with, like, the sleeves being a different color than the rest of it. I don't hate the cut of them. I don't like... that, like, there's the random arms are blue. It makes them look like a costume for little kids. That's the thing that I don't like about those costumes. I love the coveralls, and I love how brightly they are green and red. And when they come out in those costumes, it looks kind of epic because there's, like, fog behind them and stuff.
Yes, like, they're standing.
They look really cool. But they also look like they are gonna, like, be in, like, I don't know, Bob the Builder live on stage.
That's what it is. Like, it's straight up, like, Bob the Builder core.
That's my favorite style of clothing, Bob the Builder core.
Yeah. Well, and Luigi keeps his rainbow pride belt on over his green.
Oh my gosh, I was about to bring up the pride belt. So for the people who are listening that still haven't seen this movie,
a good move.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth the watch. But know that you'll be different afterward. Maybe watch it with a friend.
Yeah. Don't go in alone.
Don't go in it alone. Don't do what Natalie did and watch it in the library.
Oh, God. Don't do it in public.
This is a private matter. No, but for those of you who haven't seen, Luigi and Mario have, like, belts, like, tool belts, like a plumber would have. But Luigi's is a rainbow. Like, it is a rainbow belt, which I love. Mm-hmm. Gay rights.
Gay rights.
But he has it the entire film. Mm-hmm. And he never loses. He loses so many things throughout the movie. He never loses the pride belt.
The rainbow belt stays.
The rainbow belt stays.
I don't.
Forever. Rainbow belt. Pride belt forever.
Pride belt forever. Yeah.
But it even goes on top of the green coveralls. Mm-hmm. I love the pride belt. I don't understand why the pride belt is there.
Oh, it simply doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be, and I don't want them to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Kind of just because, like, I was watching it, and I was like, is he wearing a rainbow tool belt? Okay, sure, gay rights. Luigi said gay rights, I guess. And, like, it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't have feelings about this, but I also really have strong feelings about this. Yeah. And I don't know what they are. I just look at the pride belt and I'm like, yep. It's the one thing in the movie that I don't kind of, like, think this should or shouldn't be here. I'm just like, it is here.
I have no opinions. I'm just accepted.
Yeah, it's like, the only thing in the movie that I'm like, I accept this.
I think it's just funny enough that it's like, it doesn't fit, but I'll let it slide, you know?
Because it's not a joke.
No.
It's not a, like...
It's never addressed. It's never brought
addressed.
Up.
It's never a thing.
No.
It was the 90s, so you know, having him wear a pride belt is probably more obviously, like, gay rights now than it was
then. But he isn't gay.
He's not. There's no reason for him to be wearing this. Bye, I don't want Mario. It to go away though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the whole point. And it's my favorite costuming decision of the film because it's so, like, it doesn't need to be there. It
doesn't matter.
But we commented on it throughout the whole thing. We were like, rainbow belt.
Yeah.
He uses it to tie up Iggy and Spike in the desert scene, which I think is really fun. So that they now are gay, diagnosed with gay.
It's for when they go on dates.
Yeah. They're cousins.
Gay cousins.
Oh man. I really like the pride belt.
I like the pride belt.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And that's it. I like the pride belt. I don't love the pride belt. I don't hate the pride belt. I like the pride belt.
I like it.
It's
like a friend that, like, you're not really friends with. They're just kind of around when other people hang out. So you're like, yeah.
I like them.
No, I like the pride belt.
I like them.
I wouldn't get lunch with the pride belt, but I like the pride belt. Well, I think that's the end of our conversation.
I think the pride belt ends it all.
I think it has to.
It all begins and ends with
Luigi's pride belt.
Life is but a pride belt going round and round.
Well, hey, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
This is so fun.
I have so enjoyed this.
You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you.
The costumes won't change, but maybe our opinions of them will.
I have so many thoughts about this movie. It takes so much space in my brain.
You want to watch it with me every week?
Oh, Lord, no. I'll watch it with you again. Not every week, though.
That's okay. That's fully the right choice.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on it. And thank you guys so much for listening to Plumber Bummer. Oh, you know what? You can be part of this. Every week I do a non-Mario movie recommendation so people can know and judge my music or my movie taste, music taste.
Yes.
I'm crossing my wires a little bit here. I also do a music show. Do you want to choose the movie this week?
Oh, sure.
It could be Percy Jackson.
No, I will never ever suggest that. I've never been more angry than when I watched that movie.
Yeah.
No. Okay, I'll suggest, so my favorite movie, I have two favorite movies, but the favorite movie I'm going to pick for this is Finding Dory. Aww. Finding Dory, the Disney movie, is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I know people are going to be like, man, it's not that good compared to Finding Nemo, whatever. I'm like, don't. It's fine. It's good. Trust me. I love that movie very much. It hits home for me, and I really recommend it. I always cry during it. So go watch it if you want to. If you want to cry about a fish's life. Yeah. But also, like, it's really funny too, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. I remember liking it when I saw it in theaters.
I love, love, love that movie. So.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
My movie is going to be the Percy Jackson movie.
No.
And I refuse to elaborate. I dislike it, but mm-hmm. also I love it, and also it's bad, and also it's peak cinema. It's kind of all of them. having rewatched it very recently, I can say, with full confidence, if you like the Percy Jackson book series, I grew up reading them. I think they're wonderful. They're integral to my personality and who I am. Don't watch the film. The author hates the film. He publicly hates the film. He has released emails detailing how much he hates the film.
And I'm with him.
Yes, he's correct. That being said, it is fun. The poker scene? Or the scene where they're at the casino and Poker Face starts playing while they get high?
Wild.
Wild. Not in the books, but it was shouldn't a choice be for the in film. The Don't watch the second one. Sea of Monsters is just bad.
Yeah.
I think you should see it, Grace. I think you would hate it.
I saw it when I was a child. Yeah. At, like, a hotel pool. I don't remember anything that happens in that movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's for the best.
Did you sit at the bottom of the pool for 7 minutes? The Percy Jackson reference. But the movie. Anyways, there we go. Very different. Well, sea-themed.
Sea-themed and, like, kind of for kids.
And themed. Kind of not as good as the source material.
I stand by that I like Finding Dory better than Finding Nemo. See, I also will kind of understand that is a super hot take, and I totally understand that that is not the case for almost every other person on Earth.
That's all right. I like having movies that you have a personal attachment to, even if no one else does.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 1993. Maybe I just get the script, like, tattooed on my thigh or something. Like, just all the way down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so...
I'll highlight my favorite lines.
No.
Sir, the Goombas are dancing again.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening. I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Yeah. Do you follow me on Twitter? I don't think so.
I don't have Twitter. I feel like I need
That's okay.
I think I'm going to get Twitter, though, to follow you.
Well, thanks.
I need all the content.
Yes, so much content. More Super Mario Brothers movie content, please. But you can do that at BummerPod. You can email me at plumberbummerpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to everyone who's emailed so far. You can support me on Ko-Fi. You can give me your monies at ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. That's It's ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. Or you can set up a monthly donation using the link at the end of the show notes. Are you going to tell your friends about the show now that you've been on it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, please do.
I've already been telling my friends about the show. That's but now have... I now I can send them, look, it has me.
Yeah, and now they have to listen.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you yourself are listening, tell your friends about it, because I think we're funny, and we have a good time, and more people need to know about Luigi's Pride Belt than currently do. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, which algorithmically supports the show and gets us to more people.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. Oh, it's funny that you brought that up.
Oh!
At the end of every show, we imitate Mario. We steal his thunder. Do you want to do it at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say before we end off?
No, I think this is the right way to
Grace,
do it.
Grace, the world is listening.
Okay. No, I don't have anything. Head full, but not of jokes.
No. Head full, jokes empty.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. Ready? As Mario would say. Wahoo! Oh, that was so fun!
Let's go!